Welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis, the group of many who speak as one. And here to introduce you to Galexis is the channel, Ginger Metro.
Hello, it's Ginger Metro, and thank you to Galexis' Path of Power show. My name is Ginger, as I said, and I'm the channel. I channel Galexis, a group of beings from various levels and dimensions, various types of, and from various planets and locations and so forth in time and space. And they come together as a group, and they speak as one. And I've always enjoyed experiencing this from all the years that I've been channeling, that every time Galexis comes through, they are always into empowering whoever it is that they're speaking to. And so that's why we named the show The Path of Power. So anyway, I'm going to get out of the way, and Galexis will be with you shortly. And the Galexis will first give you a little speech. They will say a little something about some current topic that's going on. And then they will open the air up for questions, and you can talk on that topic or on any other topic that is appealing to you. And then at the end of the show, they will close the show. I will not return. Just a reminder before I leave and Galexis comes in is that the show Path of Power is generally on the first and third Mondays of the month, and it just happens that this Monday is the fifth Monday, so we will also be back next Monday. It'll be the first Monday of the new year. And then we alternate with Tall Cat Psychic. But next Monday will be us yet again. And also, for your information, too, is that if you want to place a call, the phone numbers are going to be listed there on the screen on the BBS radio site, Channel Station 1. And it's 877-876-5227. Galexis will say this number again when they open the air for callers. So I hope you have a good time and enjoy the show. And I'm going to be quiet for just a few seconds. And the next thing you know, Galexis will be with you. So bye-bye for this year, and I will be talking with you next year. All right, we are here. We are Galexis. And welcome. Welcome to the show, Path of Power. It is our pleasure to speak with you today. And we have been noticing from those that we talk to and those that the one who channels us and her husband speak with that so much is going on in the economy, so much concern about money, about savings lost, about the top money people being totally irresponsible in the way that they handled their monies, way they handled their business, putting everyone, not just in this country, but over the whole world at risk. So we want to talk a little bit about this chaos and perhaps suggest to you a way that maybe can help you make your way through this particular strange and potentially very troubling times. Now, there's a lot of fear going on. No one knows exactly yet where the bottom will be. You know, the market seems to go down, then it goes up a little bit, then it goes back down. And so where is it going to go? Where is it going to end up? You know, and what does that mean for you and for your investments and for your income and for your business and for the possibilities for income and business and so on? Where does that leave you? You're out in the lurch. There's been a free fall. There's been a whole sense of plunging into some kind of unknown, that the only similarity that anyone can find is with the Great Depression. And, of course, everyone is hoping and praying, oh, please, let's not go and do that again, even though some of the precipitating circumstances are awesomely familiar and similar. What a parallel. But this time, there is a difference, a major, substantial difference. This time, there has been a big change of consciousness on the planet. Now, we're not saying that the people back in the 30s and 20s were unconscious people. But there's been so much more that has been added. There's so much more consciousness. There's so much more awareness by individuals. Awareness of who they are, awareness of what they can do, awareness of what the impact is of their thoughts, of their feelings, on the value and quality of their lives. So much more consciousness about the great trends and changes in the world, where you're heading, where you're going, and what that's going to be like. Whole new visions and dreams on a personal level as well as a global level. So much more possibility and potential. And it's not really all wrapped up in money. It's not wrapped up in some kind of economic advancement through development and investments into this country or that country, or building the trade between this country or that country or this or that. It's not so much balanced on the same factors. What it's balanced on, though, now, is that within the hearts and minds of all of you who have chosen to incarnate and be adults at this time on the planet, there is a draw, a call, a yearning, a focus towards a different kind of a future, towards a new way of living, towards a new template of possibility, of lifestyle, of imagination, of spiritual connection, of love and community, of peace and prosperity. It's not so attached to the building of the developing countries or the so-called third world countries through economic means as much as it is through everyone on the planet learning how to balance, learning how to work within their own culture to expand the conscious awareness of lifting humanity as a whole to greater capacity, to a greater joy of living. Now, admittedly, a lot of people think it's all about money. Okay, you don't have a good joy of living unless you're rich. You know, if you're poor, your joy of living is just, well, it's just not really there. You don't have any possibilities. You don't have any resources. You don't have any ways to deal with it. But you see, dear ones, you don't have to be rich. You can even have lost a lot of your money in this recent plunge of the marketplace. You don't have to have loads and loads of money and make millions of dollars a year and in order to have a glorious and wonderful life. But you're not going to be challenged as much this time as people were back in the 30s of having to create a beautiful life in abject poverty or in situations of tremendous depression and recession and all the troubles that come personally and professionally and culturally and community-wise with that. This challenge this time is going to be of a personal one, each one of you, as powerful reality creators, learning to make your way through the chaos, learning to come out on the other side of the chaos, to come clean and clear as light beings. chaos of fear, the chaos of value. Nobody knows what anything's worth. It has to become intrinsic now. It has to become subjective. It has to become felt what is worth, what is valuable. And what is felt but emotions? What is known but intuition and whispers of consciousness from your higher you to your worldly or daily or lower you? Access to that, access to understanding what you're feeling, to be able to clear dark emotions, to be able to look at yourself in a beautiful way, to love yourself regardless of whatever stupid mistakes you may have made in your business and with money or in relationships with people that have put you into a rough position. It's more about you. It's more inside you. You have the power to see what you're feeling and to see how it's reflecting what's out there, to change what you're feeling in here, and then to watch out there how it reflects you, how it changes. What an opportunity. It's the first time on the planet that you really are authentically here and capable of doing this. Now, always in the past, in order to learn and to grow and move to a new level of being, you've had to create some kind of challenge or dark crisis. Why not make a choice within your heart right now that this is going to be the last time that you have to force yourself to grow this way? Put together a new paradigm, a new way, to where what you feel makes a difference out there. So you're going to clear all the dark feelings. You're going to clear all the agendas. You're going to clear all the debris emotionally within you so that you can feel clean and clear, as fresh and clean as a small child, as direct, not powerless as a small child, but this time in your power. Your intuition, your connection to higher self can be something that gives you a sense of value within yourself so that you can trust yourself, that you can trust that you've made an arrangement with your reality already, that you're going to survive. Now, you may not want to just survive, but that's pretty harsh. There are a lot of people who went through the 30s just surviving. This time you can do more than that. But no, your survival is assured. You will survive. You will make it. You will have enough. Now, this is not true in every part of the world, but here in the United States, in the Western Hemisphere, in Canada, even in most places of Europe, it is operative. You will survive. You will be okay. You're not going to be destitute. You're not going to have to live on the street. So look at it this way. Start to trust yourself that you can do better than survival. If you can clear the dark emotions, the powerless feelings that you have, the rage that you have, the guilt and the shame and the failures, if you can let that go, to forgive yourself, to love yourself, to accept yourself, to support yourself, and to value you, and to listen to what your higher self says, to get in connection with your divine nature, to bring that in more and more, you will have a guidance system. You will create one if you don't already know how to follow it. And this created guidance system will take you through the chaos. It will lead you out of the darkness into the light. It will lead you to the opportunities, to the magic, to the openings, so that you can do much better than surviving, that you can trust yourself. See, if you don't trust yourself, then there's nobody out there you can trust. If you trust yourself, then you can ascertain cleanly, clearly, who out there in your world is trustworthy, because you understand the nature of trust. If you can value yourself, you will know what is valuable out there. You will know the nature of value. If you love yourself, you will be able to love out there. If you can give to yourself, you can receive from many sources of abundance out there. You are rich with resources, internal resources and powers. And our recommendation to all of you, as the way to get through this crisis, this economic crisis, the crisis of fear, the crisis of value, is to open up, to recognize that you can make a difference. And if you have hope, if you have dreams, if you have love and life, then your world will have it too. You can start with yourself. You are empowered to do that. Nobody can take that power away from you except for yourself. You can pretend to be powerless, but actually, you never are powerless. You can pretend that, you know, there's no hope. You can pretend that there is fear everywhere, doom and gloom, and you're going to lose everything, and you're going to be disappointed, and you're going to fail. But you see, that would be a reality that you're choosing. Yeah, you're picking it up from other people, but you're not powerless. Every thought and feeling you have is that you've basically chosen on one level or another to have it. If you are experiencing certain emotions and certain thoughts and certain beliefs and certain attitudes that you do not like, that don't feel right to you, you will stop feeling them. If you can make beautiful, positive, empowering, and expansive and self-valuing emotions and thoughts to be natural to you, what do you think is going to happen to your prosperity? What do you think is going to happen to the world? You can help pull the world through this crisis by you stepping through it, by you stepping to the other side. Now, right now, the crisis is in its depth. It perhaps has gone to the deepest it's going to go, pretty much. A lot of people are on hold, waiting to see what's going to happen, where's the value going to increase, where should we put whatever little money we have left into investments. What's Obama going to do? Is he going to fix some things? Is it all going to start to get better? Well, we would suggest that the way that the timing is going at this time, and when we say this, we're talking about the probable future that's stretching out from this moment in time into the future as you project it as is most expected. Now, this can change. This can change overnight. The marketplace does not follow any logical or habitual or linear, predictable moods. If you notice, the marketplace is run by emotion. And there will be a ripple through there, and all sorts of stocks will go down or up or whatever. The marketplace as a whole, that includes real estate and commodities as well as stocks. It includes all sorts of investment vehicles, etc., all around the world. The marketplace is in flux right now. It's in the chaos right now. It goes up a little, goes down a little, goes up a little. It doesn't know where to land. It doesn't know where value is. It doesn't know how to settle and create a sense of orientation of value so people know how much something is worth and whether, okay, is the housing market now reached bottom or not. You can't tell in the midst of this chaos. But once Obama does get in, and once some of those policies and the procedures and developments start unfolding, the world, which is waiting to see, the United States, which is waiting to see, will then come to some kind of determinant, will come to some kind of idea as to how it's all going. There will be some kind of sense, an intuitional hunch, or some pundits will have some quote-unquote logical background or reasons to explain their points of view. But somewhere along in the spring, in the May, around May into summer, there's going to be a settling. People are going to go, it's starting to make sense. It's starting to get oriented now. That doesn't mean necessarily mean that the market's going to go up. It does mean, though, that there's going to be a sense of orientation. And the people will have a better idea where they're at. They won't know where they're coming or going, which is confusion right now, is not knowing. There'll be a sense of direction that can come in. You can get it earlier than that if you will start taking your power now. Take your power back from the financial system. Take your power back for money. Make a choice what you choose to feel, what your personal mythology is. Now, don't go live in a fantasy. Oh, everything's going to just be so nice. I'm going to be so wealthy and so spiritual, and everything's going to be great. You don't go there. That's one-dimensional. You're not really feeling anything there. You're just kind of up there in this kind of floaty kind of space. Do not go to the floaty space. Go to the feeling space. Go to your gut level. That's where you know stuff. Feel there. Feel the fear. Feel the anger. Feel the hurt. Feel the disappointment. Feel the rage. Feel the pain. And the terror. And then feel the hope. The power. The joy. The happiness, the confidence, the strength, the truth. Start feeling good stuff. When you clear out the darker stuff, the limiting stuff, you can open up and feel the good stuff. Face the darker stuff. Don't float over it. Don't rise above it, quote unquote. That won't get you anywhere. But into a nice fantasy that will keep you nice and numb so you won't know what happened when it hit you. Stay present. You're moving through a chaos and the opportunity of a chaos. Yeah, there can be some danger in it, danger of falling and failing. But the opportunity is that in this unknown, in this incredible pivotal change period, you can create a new paradigm for you. And if you'll do that and step forward to that, you'll create it for the world as well. Your gift. Your power. We're going to open the lines up for calls now. And the phone number to call is 877-876-5227. And if you want to talk about the economy, that's fine, or your own personal economy, or any other topic, we'll be very happy to address that and answer that. But we do want to emphasize, no matter what you're doing, whether you are engaging with the world or whether you're kind of hiding out and in your little niche, whatever you're doing is making an impact everywhere. You know, as quantum physics talks about how the butterfly wing over here can create a storm over there on the other side of the planet. Everything is connected to everything else. Don't isolate yourself out of it. And don't isolate anything else in the world out of your reality. Because when you take power, you're also taking responsibility for recreating your life and therefore recreating possibilities for everyone. What a power. What a gift. What a possibility. Again, the number to call, 877-876-5227. If you want to ask us a question, otherwise we'll just continue talking. Because this topic of your power, of the capacity that you have to make changes in your life, is probably the most important topic to really pay attention to right now on the planet. especially because if you're in the midst of the chaos, you don't want to be run by the fear, driven by the greed, driven by the terrors, the powerlessness. You want to be motivated towards something that you desire, towards something that you wish, something that you want. You want to move forward always towards a grand and a glorious future. Now, we've been doing a workshop recently. We did one on creating and manifesting your dreams. You know, right now is a very important time to redream, as we call it. To redream yourself, to redream your world, to redream your lifestyle. Yeah, you may have lost some money. You might have to make some kind of changes. You may have to do some reductions of expenses. You may have to take more care in what you're doing as far as expenditure of your energies and so forth. And that's part of your process of revaluing yourself. And it requires evaluation. And then it requires valuing yourself enough to respond to your very own evaluations, to respond to your very own knowings, what you in your gut know, what you in your deep down inside yourself know. We're going to mention a couple of things that we spoke about in this workshop, creating and manifesting your dreams. If you want the in-depth one, then you would need to contact us. You'd need to call Daniel at 310-455-0600 or go to our website, Galexis Spirit, GalexisSpirit.com. And there you will find, under the bookstore, that there are various workshops, and creating and manifesting your dream life or dreams is one of them. First of all, we want to suggest that you already, in a way, know your future. You see, you're dreaming your future every moment, and your future is dreaming you. Every moment, your future is dreaming you. Now, a lot of people think, well, wait a minute. I understand that I'm dreaming the future and that what I do now will have an impact on the future. But you see, if you already begin to expect and to know something in the future, you'll start acting as if that's true. And in a sense, the future that you expect will manifest. It could be very, very likely the same old that you've been experiencing for years. The same old future manifested over and over and over again. So that's why some people say, well, we just never change. Things just don't ever really change. That's because they don't realize that the future that they're expecting is the future they're living, or the reality they're living. And so they're not going to live a better reality unless they expect a different future. And you can't continuously do the same thing over and over and over again, hoping to make your life change if it hasn't changed. That's part of the creativity of being a human being. One of the things we admire so much about you, dear ones, is that regardless of what circumstances you find yourself in, you will create and imagine stuff, and you can try new things. You are creative. So if you don't like the life level that you're living, financially, emotionally, spiritually, lovingly, whatever, then you have to dream and expect a different future. You can't expect the same to continue and have it change. So in that sense, your future, that reality you expect, is holding a vibration out there saying, future, this is where you're going. And you're still looking at it, and so you're lined up with it, so you will go that way. If you create a different frequency for your future and expect it, your life will pivot and face that future and head that way. Now, some people call this law of attraction. Whatever the frequency is of who you're going to be and what you're going to experience in the future, that energy, that frequency is attracting that reality to you. But you have to claim it. You have to own it as yours. That's where most people mess up. They don't expect it. They expect to be disappointed, or they expect to live a mediocre life, or they expect to have hassles and hardships, or they expect the same thing that they're already getting. So we wanted to mention this one because that's the first trap. That's the first major trap. The other part of this trap, another aspect of the trap, perhaps, that most people find themselves in, is that, and we mentioned it briefly, is that what people are desiring and what people are wanting, they're seeing it already manifested in its form, whatever form they want it to take, whatever structure, whatever substance, whatever event, that kind of thing. They just look for that. And, okay, I want a lot of money, all right? Here's money. Okay, now money's the form. But who are you going to be when you're there? See, if you don't have all that money now, there's a certain person you are now who has less money. In order to be a person who has more money, you're going to need to be that person. What's the difference between the person you are now and the person you would need to be to have more money? What is that gap? The gap generally is found with beliefs. It's found with the limiting stories that you tell yourself. Oh, yeah, I always keep trying that, and then I always fall in. There's always a problem at that point, and it always looks like it's all about to come together, and then it fizzles. So you have your storyline you rely on. Or maybe you just have emotions and resentments. Maybe you have some guilt or rage. You're angry. Maybe you have an agenda that you want. You want to punish somebody or make somebody else suffer. Maybe you want to make somebody feel guilty. I'm not going to be successful because if I were successful, then my father would take great pride in that and commend himself on having been a good father, and he wasn't. He sucked as a father. I'm not going to let him get to sense, well, I was right for him to get this, juiced up about himself. I'm going to make him feel sorry he didn't give me the attention and the love and the nurturing and the support and the encouragement he should have. Because I'm just going to be a failure, and that'll show him. You don't know how many people still carry a piece of an agenda, not unlike this piece, in their subconscious, even unaware from a conscious level that it's even there or exists. But you need to seek within yourself to find where is the limitation that the person that you are right now, today, is living under. And then from that point, to be able to find what is the freeing mythology or belief you need to have in order to have money. I believe we have a caller. So, hello.
Hello there, Glaxus.
Yes.
This is Brian from Indiana.
Hello, Brian, again. How are
How
you, dear one? All right. So what do you would like to talk about today?
Have you heard of the Urantia book?
Yes.
I was wondering, in this book, they mention the seraphic transports. What exactly is that? Is it more spiritual-based, or is it more like a material? What is that?
All right. Well, one of the things we want to mention is that a lot of the concepts and a lot of the material in their Urantia book at this timing is still not functioning in the physical plane.
Ah, okay. It's
all
higher,
right?
Evolution. Yes.
Because
higher
in a
dimension.
Sense,
yes.
It's, you know, the world has gone on.
Right.
Urantia was channeled, actually, out by some very, it was, at the time it came in, it was like, you know, the top thing, you know, and it had a lot of very powerful, very pivotal concepts and information and so forth in there.
Right.
But the fact is that the foundational mythology of the human culture has shifted.
Ah, so we're in a different time frame, yes.
Exactly. It's moving into you see, the whole Urantia book is really founded on the Judeo-Christian structure.
Okay.
And
but there is truth to that.
Yes, there is, but it's becoming over time more limited.
I see.
Because it's only bounded within that particular tradition, and the world has expanded now so much more, and it's becoming so much more at that timing when that book came through, the world still had a lot of divisions between nations and so on. There wasn't kind of a communication around the planet that happens today. So that foundation was only applicable for a certain culture that was the leading culture, and still, in a sense, is, yes.
Yeah.
But the leading culture is no longer so dogmatically oriented towards those particular hierarchies.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of new stuff that has come in from ancient times, from future times, and from different cultures, and it's all blending in at this time. And that's also part of the chaos for people who are in their spiritual journey. So we would suggest that you look at whatever the function of this transport is, whatever it is you would like to experience with that, and then ask for it in whatever is the most current form. There's several current forms.
Mm-hmm. One last thing, Alexis. There was a time what we call a Garden of Eden that did exist at one time on this planet. Is this correct?
Yes.
That time period, does that fall in the time period between Lemuria and Atlantis around those times?
Yes, it did.
Was it after Lemuria or before the start of Atlantis?
We would say it was before Lemuria.
Wow.
And the reason why is what we were saying is that Lemuria was an upgrowth of once it was established like that. See, the Garden of Eden was predated the knowledge.
That's part of
the mythology.
Yeah.
See, there was a tree of good and evil, of knowledge, blah, blah, blah. You know, but Adam and Eve didn't know about it until God said, oh, don't eat that one, right? So essentially what happened was that was a time when the many beings working together in concert around the universe was from different galaxies, planets, and so forth at times, were putting together, making sure that the ecology was working.
The Melchizedek sense.
Yeah, and so forth. And they were making sure that everything was working and they were directing this and directing that part, making sure that the oceans and were balanced with the clouds and the water system was working and the plants and the animals, that they could get the balance of nature going and getting the ecology balanced.
And then they introduced
humans to it. There were human animals, and then there was genetic experiments to bring in star seed genetics to enable them.
Now,
at the very beginning, there was no illness. There was no sickness.
I see.
And that would be what we would say, that time where they'd kind of gotten it figured out. Okay.
Yes.
And now, as soon as it's figured out, now we could do a big experiment. Now we can do something grand and glorious.
Is that
and so vortexes were opened up in various places on the planet, and beings came down and incarnated to experience and to play with it.
Was the Assyrian energy that came here at the time of Lemuria, was this before the Garden of Eden or after?
Well, the Assyrians participated in the genetics.
And the
as well as
also.
Several others, they were involved in some of them in establishing it and so on. And when they had established it, it was a beautiful planet and had more abundance of possibilities than almost any other planet. One of the reasons that this planet is so special is it was not far away. First of all, it was like still in the part of the universe that has extra energies, and secondly. They decided to put in more species than other planets. You go on other planets, sometimes they have like maybe, 30 types of insects. But on this planet, there's 200,000 kinds of insects, that type of thing.
Yes.
So it's like this is a planet of incredible abundance.
Hmm.
And to all of you who have... All humans who have come to this planet have come to partake of and experience and play with this incredible range of possibility. And at that point, shortly before Lemuria, a dark possibility was introduced.
Is that the time of the Lucifer Rebellion?
You might say it that way.
In a way.
That's a mythological way of saying
it.
Right. It was in a sense the creation of ego.
Yeah.
An establishment of ego, and it was also the introduction of disease.
I see.
Because before that, there was no disease. But there was an introduction of disease. It came with a certain, the whole ego agenda and so on. We're not going to get into that.
But that came right before.
So a lot of the Syrian experience coming down into Lemuria was to bring... the positive, to bring the light, to just kind of really work with the magic and work with the and there were various and also you have to realize there on this planet there were also other types of beings. Those who are known as fairy were here on
the unicorn
and so
kingdom.
They came to participate and play together and to work together. So before Lemuria.
The collective that makes up Galaxis.
Yes.
Were you in some way a part of this evolution?
Parts of us were.
Okay. That's all. Thank you so much, my dear, and have a happy new year.
Oh, yes, very much so to you as well. And we hope it's not too cold up there in Indiana. We know it can be very cold there.
On. Yes, it has been. Well, God bless. Thank you, dear
one. All right. Thank you, dear one.
Bye-bye.
All right. Farewell to you. All right. Always count on Brian to have a very interesting question, That's very esoteric out there. So we invite you, those of you who are listening, if you wish, anyone who wants to make a call, who wants to talk to us, the lines are open. And hello. Welcome.
Hi. I had this dream, Galaxis, last night. It was in response to a question that I had asked about knowing my star origin. And in the dream, there was genetic alteration to the human race where they were cut off from feeling, maybe, or an aspect of themselves wasn't whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could help me maybe understand the message that I was given or even my star origins.
All right, so basically what you got as a message was that somehow or another in this genetic alteration that some kind of emotional energy was removed?
Correct.
All right. Well, that actually is what is commonly known in the Zeta, with the Zetas. And they are, some of them... various places around the universe, and some of them work in Orion, but the thing is what happened there is that they were already dealing with human response to emotion, and they felt that it was how humans tend to shoot themselves in the foot. And yeah, that's true. Humans can sabotage themselves with emotion. This planet has lots of feeling on it. And so essentially they did a whole bunch of, got very sophisticated technologically. They brought in beings from the future, from of the, you know, who had the knowledge and technology, and they were able to move emotions out of it, out of the mix, in a sense. But the point of that, though, was that, and we'd say that what it has to do with your origin, is that it was unsatisfactory. Because also with emotions, you get love, you get passion, you get joy, you get ecstasy. You can get the positives, too. And so, in a sense, they began to realize their folly, is that even though they took away what humans could sabotage themselves with, they also took away a great deal of what the grand experience of being human was all about. And so you, as a particular emissary, a star emissary, agreed to come to this planet and to take on human form and to experience emotion.
Well, that makes sense. I think, isn't that true for all of us, though?
Not all of you, no.
Oh.
Not all of you are coming here with definitely with a mission to experience emotion. Most people know that emotion's part of it. They may have other particular kinds of missions. But you came to experience the fullness of feeling.
Okay.
All right? Now, one of the things that you agreed to do when you came here was that you agreed to be read. In other words, you have a recording device on you. And in this recording device, you send back basically a report or a movie of what you feel, what you think, how you function, how you operate, so that those who are part of your research team can understand a little bit more about what it means to be human, so that they, perhaps they can genetically engineer into the race some emotion.
So then what star group am I from then? Who am I sending it to?
Well, you're sending it to a coalition, a group between, now some of them are Zetas, and what they're called Zeta Reticuli, and some of them are those, but you also are sending to about three or four other groups. You're sending to some that are in, where are they? Well, they're showing us, and they're showing us where they're from in, with their name, and unfortunately we don't know in your language how to, you know, how to tell you where, all right?
Are they
showing the location.
Are they showing, like, particular star systems?
Yeah, they're showing certain galaxies and so on. And some of them are quite a ways away. But they're coming together because what they're wanting to do is to create or to experience or to participate in a great consciousness shift here, so that you can get they can get a luminous human. All right, the luminous human, which is the object here, is a human being who has emotion, has spiritual connection, knows who they are, or is able to open up to that easily, has tremendous creative capacity and spiritual abilities, and is healthy and strong.
Alexis, I mean, that is my goal, period, for my personal being.
That's correct. And so were excited. You see, you were just totally thrilled about the idea of coming for this mission and becoming a luminous human.
And I still am.
Yes, absolutely. But we're just saying that was your original motivation, and until you get to that place of luminous human and you say, okay, I'm done with my human incarnating, I got it, and thank you, it was a great experience, and I'm going to go back to, you know, my home, and which we say this, you have two or three of them, you kind of have a little interbreeding there, but that's not uncommon. But nevertheless, there's, in a sense, we'd say your home home planet energy. We know what it looks like there and what it feels like there. We don't know what the name would be that your scientists would understand.
Mm-hmm.
But on this home planet, then you'll be in a place where you know who you are. You don't have any illness. Your life is extremely long, several thousands of years. And you can just take your time and do whatever you create, whatever you want to create, and explore whatever you want to explore, you see.
For the new year, is there guidance that you can give me, Galexis, that will help me facilitate the shift not only within my consciousness, but the shift that I'm here to do?
All right. So let us just kind of scan you a little bit. Well, we would say probably the most important thing that seems to keep coming up as we kind of look over several cycles of you is that you continuously need to activate your own expansion, just energetically, just even through your imagination, to expand your auric field. Right, to see yourself as more valuable, to see yourself as more powerful, to just kind of basically the key really to becoming the luminous human is remembering who you are, and that you are by choice here, and in order for you to make a choice to do something of this magnitude and play with an illusion this large and interesting, you had to be quite a developed being. All right, so you're a very powerful reality creator. You're a light being. If you want any reminders about it, we'd recommend you go to our website, galexispirit.com, and on the front page and the home page, there's a little message pops up, and we suggest to a lot of people just read this every day because it reminds you who you are. And for you, that's probably the most important thing. Now, you need to ground it into you, too. Because sometimes you know who you are, but you're floating up there, and you you're not really here.
So grounding it into me is by doing a task that's here.
No task. Okay, that sounds so harsh. No, what you do is you ground is that you create somehow or another you feel or create or build a connection between you and Mother Earth.
Okay.
All right. Now, don't look at that as a task, okay? Because Mother Earth is very loving. She is absolutely unconditionally accepting. And to be grateful to the Earth, to touch her with love. If you can go outside and just walk on the Earth and just thank the Earth for all the bounty that she gives you and just get connected. And to feel stuff, really get into your body, to really feel your body and to feel how it's made of the same substance as the Earth, as everything on the planet comes from Mother Earth. And for you to kind of get into that earthiness and get into the physicalness of it, you see. Also, your body would really like that. There's a part of you with your physical body that there's a dissociation in there. And it'd really be good if you can let your body be your home and really feel good in it.
Okay.
Or at least better than where you are now. You've made a lot of progress, but your body would still really like for you to just be at home with it and feel good being with it. Your body's your partner.
And without it, you can't do the work.
No, you can't do it. The whole point was to come into physical plane illusion. That was the whole point of it, because until you do that, you cannot really bring this experiment that everybody's into and millions of beings from other planetary systems are here observing, of where you can move a physical being into a fourth and fifth dimensional consciousness. This is part of the experiment. You wanted to be part of that, you see.
Mm-hmm. So acknowledge my being and feel it in my body, ground it with Mother Earth in gratitude.
There you go.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Because to us, when we look at you energetically, that's probably going to be part of the whole thing that's going to give you a sense of inner peace. Because the way we read your energy right now, there's a certain kind of internal restlessness, like you need to get somewhere.
Yeah, I constantly want to, I'm writing a book and I want to get it done today.
Exactly. You're kind of impatient with yourself.
Very.
And you're kind of like looking at the future as being more important than in the being in the present.
Oh.
And one of the things we want to say here is that until you really get here and ground and be here, that book is just going to be one big resistance, one big, what do they call it, albatross around your neck kind of thing. You know, it's just going to be a bear, you know. And so for you to really enjoy the book, you need to get into the means, not to the end.
Got it.
All right?
I hear you. I definitely hear you. I was ready to hear this, and I'm so thankful.
You're so welcome. It's really good, because if you can get into that, then your relationship to time will improve. But
okay.
Right now, your body, your relationship with your body, your relationship with time is kind of still a bit awkward here. And you're kind of pushing yourself, and you're not making yourself any happier.
Got it.
So the whole thing that we sense between is that, first of all, you ground, and you also expand your recognition and claiming on owning of who you are as light being. And then just make peace with being in the present. The present's the most perfect place to be. And when you start to get there, you'll realize that somebody along the line trained you to feel that somehow or another you just weren't good enough.
Yeah, I feel like there's days when I'm there and then it slips away. I feel like I'm definitely a student in the sense that I don't maintain it consistently. It's like a
true
job.
True, but that's part of the process. It's repetition, a repetition of those things that work. And being creative to change. And every little piece that you change, you're going to get, and you positively change it, of course, you're going to get it to last for longer periods of time or be more satisfying.
Got it.
And there will become a time where you won't have those off periods. But right now, in your off periods, there's a part of you when you're not connected and when you're not, you know, kind of dissociated time-wise and, you know, so on, you can get judgmental of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And that's got to stop, because if you're a beautiful, powerful light being, you got to stop judging yourself. You got to just love yourself more. You understand?
I do. I absolutely
And if you take
do.
The judgment away, then you're not under pressure to achieve, 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 achieve. And then it can start to happen. It can unfold as an inherent, joyous process that's natural to you. You see?
I do. Thank you.
All right. Well, have a wonderful holiday, New Year celebration, all right?
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you very much. Farewell, dear one.
Bye.
All right. And we thank both of you who have called, and we thank those of you who have listened to us. Even though we know you did not call, we know you are listening. We will be back with you next week. And so between now and then, have a wonderful holiday. Go check out the website, galexaspirit.com, and look out, you know, that message on the homepage. And check out, we have other messages in there. One on food you might want to check out, especially in a holiday. So we will close now, and it has been our pleasure to be with you on this radio show. And we'll be with you next Monday, same time, same station. So thank you so much for tuning in, and have a glorious New Year. Farewell.